Could we turn, please, to that passage in Joshua chapter 2? And picking up the narrative there at verse 8. Now, before they lay down, she, that's Rahab, came up to them on the roof. So, Rahab continues in her care and protection of these two spies. And it was now time for them to rest. The searchers had gone, so it was safe for them to come out of their hiding place. Rahab has heard and has now come to believe that the Lord has given the Israelites the land. She believed that nothing whatsoever could stand before them, could stand against them, and that Jericho will surely fall to these people. And so she has a conversation with these spies. They converse together, and it's obvious when she speaks that terror, or dread, shall we say, has come upon the people of Jericho. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 25, "No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon the land where you tread, just as he has said to you." And Rahab saw the fear in her own people. And sometimes you can see that today, when people are really, really afraid. A lot of people will be blasé about when we say you have to give an account to God, when there is a God in heaven that you must give answer to, that one day every knee will bow before this God. And people laugh and people scorn. But I wonder, when the time comes, when perhaps death approaches, when there is danger, I wonder who the cry is to then. Maybe there is then a fear in people. A fear of what may happen to them after they die. Now, Rahab has heard about these large numbers of Israelites. She had heard of the victories there, and she gives a run through, doesn't she, there? "We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. What you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted." It's interesting, isn't it, that Rahab here displays a lot more faith. Remember, she's a pagan. She's a Canaanite woman who's been brought up and has had a rather shady background there in Jericho. She has a lot more faith now than the 10 spies who originally were sent out 40 years before. Remember how the 12 were sent out? 10 came back with a negative response. Only Caleb and Joshua came with a positive one. You see, she knows. And her faith, you see, is not based on some airy-fairy thing. Her faith is based on facts, not feelings. And that's what we need to encourage our people today, to have a faith that is based on facts. The fact that Jesus died on the cross, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, the fact that Jesus ascended into heaven, and the fact that we need to respond to this Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian ministry, the Christian gospel, is not some pie in the sky stuff. It is genuine and real and true, and people need to hear it. And the reason being that Rahab is in this position is that the Holy Spirit has been at work in her heart. As I say, she's followed the progress of the people of Israel with great interest. And she uses the term there. Look for verse 10. Hey, the Lord. And in verse 11. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And then in verse 12. Swear to me by the Lord. She's using the term Lord, or indeed Jehovah. And she recognizes the Lord's universal sovereignty. She is so different, of course, so utterly different in her attitude to that held by her fellow countrymen. They were gripped by what we read in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 15. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. And the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. And of course we are to remember that the New Testament commends Rahab for her faith. We read in Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And again, James chapter 2, likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Now the people who lived in Jericho, they had heard what the God had done, because she tells us that quite clearly, doesn't she? You know, for we have heard. They have all heard what God has done on behalf of his people. And they just didn't remember, the recent victories over the Amorites. They recalled the crossing of the Red Sea 40 years earlier. Now, Rahab was very much aware of what the people of Jericho were thinking on this matter when the two spies visited her establishment. And what she does, she gives an amazing and full confession on or of the one true God. And she's beginning to understand the omnipotence and the omnipresence, the all-powerful, all-presence on that basis is why she hid the spies. No doubt the spies had talked to her about the Lord when they were there, when she served them and hid them. And as the Lord, and as the spies spoke to her, I'm sure the Lord spoke to her soul as well. And in verse 11 it says there, our hearts melted. That word melt means dissolve. The people of Jericho had lost all their courage. They lost all their will to fight, to carry on. And Rahab had come to realize and to acknowledge that God can do whatever he likes, both in heaven and on earth. And she gives a wonderful confession of faith, as I say, and this from a woman with a background of lifelong paganism. She comes to believe in the one true God. And not only that, she sees it as personal. She talks of your God. He will be her God. And that's true for us today, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is my Saviour. He is your Saviour. It's personal. It's individual. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for the sins of his people, whoever they are. And we can talk to him, my God. He is my God. He is my Saviour. He is my Lord. And it shows, does it not, that God is not limited to the people of one nation. And as I say, Rahab acknowledges that Jehovah is the true God. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She acknowledges, you see, the power and the dominion over all the world. She knew something of the space that the held that these two spies had. She also knew this, that an oath in the Lord's name was a most solemn obligation for these spies to express. She asked for herself and her family. Show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, which I assume would be her nephews and nieces. She doesn't talk about any children of her own, and she doesn't talk about having a husband. Now, also what she had to do, remember this, is that she had to go and then tell her family what she'd done. Again, her mother, her father, her brothers, her sisters, and all theirs, all pagans, all living in Jericho, and she has to go and tell them what the Lord has done for her, and what the Lord will do for her and them if they put their trust in him. That must have taken great courage. The hardest people to witness to are our loved ones. Our children. Our grandchildren. Our brothers, our sisters. Perhaps our parents. People in the family. So, so hard. It's much easier to share the gospel with a stranger than it is to your nearest and dearest, if they need to hear, that is. And that's a reminder to us, isn't it? You know, Rahab had a concern for her family. She didn't want them to get chopped up. She wanted them to be safe and secure. And so she made sure that they were. But she had to go and tell them how they too could be safe. Because if they sheltered anywhere else in Jericho other than her house, they would have been killed, like the rest of the people eventually were. And we are to pray for our unsaved loved ones. It can be very painful at times to think that, you know, if they die, we're never going to see them again. They're gone. It's very tragic, isn't it? That people who can be brought up in a Christian home and then reject it and go the way of the world. Hey, we need to pray for our loved ones. Unsaved loved ones. And what she wants is here is a true token. And it would be an assurance to Rahab and a witness to their agreement. And Rahab requests these spies enter into a solemn covenant with her, guaranteeing her protection of her and her family from the coming destruction of Jericho. Rahab has shown great mercy to these two spies at great risk to herself. She knows what's coming. And she fled to the one God who could rescue her. And it seems so sad, doesn't it, that we can almost pour our hearts out to people, whether they're loved ones or whether they're strangers, and say, the wrath of God is coming upon those who are not in Christ. Oh, so what? And they just carry on and think. But Rahab knew who she could flee to. And we need to tell people today, even if they don't want to know it, and most of them don't, of course, sadly, they need to flee from the wrath to come. And they need to turn and flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all the people in Jericho were doomed. And Rahab obliges them to enter into a covenant with her. A solemn promise to her that she and her family will be preserved. Mother, father, brothers, sisters, nephew, nieces. And in chapter 6, I think in verse 23, it says here, and the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought them all out, the relatives, and left them outside the camp of Israel. You see, Rahab trusts herself, and indeed she'll trust her family, into the power and mercy of the supreme God. She may have had an immature faith. She probably wouldn't have passed the doctrine exam. But she was the saving of herself and her family. And what the spies say in effect to her is this: may their lives be destroyed if anything happens to her or her loved ones. They venture their lives for the security of her and her family. There's agreement and there's conditions to it. The fulfillment of Rahab's request was dependent upon her doing certain things. You see, a covenant is a mutual compact. And verse 14, a promise is made. So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. A promise made. They will be kind and true to her. And she on her part must mention this to no one but her family. It would seem that her house was built into the wall of the city. Remember, the city gates are shut. So she lets the spies out of the window to the bottom of the wall using a rope or a cord. How providential it was that Rahab's house was situated in the walls. Again, it's an example of how exact is the Lord's planning and the Lord's purposes. And of course, Rahab's house would still be intact, while all around was rubble. Again, a monument to God's might and God's mercy. The spies are to travel by night and to hide by day. Again, very basic, sensible advice. Don't use the road. Go to the mountains. And then they, via that, return to Joshua. And all that, you see, once again, the combination of divine preservation and human precautions. We are not to put the Lord to the test irresponsibly. Providence must be trusted, but providence must never be tempted. Each of us have responsibilities that must be carried out. We must not use the sovereignty of God in divine preservation as an excuse for laziness or fear. Verse 17, so the men said, we will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made us swear. That's the conditions have been met. Rahab must stick to them. If the conditions are violated, the spies will be free from their guilt and reproach. Rahab must act in obedience to their orders. And she makes use of the scarlet cord. It would be hung out the window when the Israelites took the city. When the Israelites were marching around Jericho, the cord would be outside the window. It could be seen by them. It was a sign agreed by the spies. It was probably not the entire rope that was used to lower the spies to the ground. That would be a giveaway to any alert sentry there in Jericho. But what it is the scarlet cord is the bit that indicates the place of safety. This is where we will find Rahab and her family. This is where they are safe and protected from all that's going on around them. It is a house of safety, used as a means of justification. Rahab and her family's salvation depend upon that scarlet cord. The spies had no idea how the Lord would deliver Jericho into the Israelite hands at this time. Do you remember that? By the time the walls fell down, all the Israelites would know about Rahab and the sign stroke signal. Otherwise, they couldn't be distinguished from the rest of the people of Jericho. What the blood on the lintel was for the people of God on the night of the first Passover, the scarlet cord did the same for Rahab and her family. And both prefigure the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And neglect will lead to death. Rahab and her family were saved by her faith in God. Not faith in the rope hanging outside the window. The rope was proof that she had faith. We need to beware of superstition. The terms are precisely stated. She and they must be inside her house, separated from the rest of the people in Jericho. Her life depended upon her secrecy. No temptation to inform on the spies or the intention of the Israelites. The if is not of uncertainty of the divine side, but of enforcing responsibility from fear. The salvation of Rahab and her family was conditional upon her obedience to the instruction of God's messengers and her use of the means that they specified. There are three things she must do. She mustn't mention about the spies. She must put the scarlet cord in her window, and she must stay in her house. And they would know where the cord was. So easy, isn't it, to make a mistake? She could see, and she could touch the means of her deliverance, as long as she did as she was told. There's a need, isn't there? Exact obedience in this matter. Look at the results of her obedience. She and her family didn't die in Jericho. She became a member of the people of God. She became the wife of a prince of Judah and the mother of Boaz. She became the great-grandmother of David. She was in the line of ancestry leading to the Lord Jesus Christ. So she sends the two spies away, she hangs out the cord, and she waits. And of course the people were looking for these spies, they searched the road to the Jordan River and the plains nearby, but they didn't search the mountains. The spies returned, and on the third day reported to Joshua. They gave him an account of what had happened. What a contrast the report, should I say, of these two spies was to the report given by the 10 spies sent out by Moses. It says here, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." The people in Jericho are in a panic because the reputation of the Israelites has gone ahead of them. Their report, the two spies' report, must have been a great encouragement to Joshua. All it would seem they had to do is take possession of Jericho. And of course, that is all dependent upon their obedience to the Lord. Rahab and her family's safety was dependent on her obedience. And it's true today. Our salvation in Christ requires everyone to come to God in his way, not anybody else's way. He talks about repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about the confessing of sin and the total hopeless situation that we are in, that we can do absolutely nothing for our salvation. It is all in Christ. And that when Jesus died on that cross at Calvary, he died there for the sins of his people. And the requirement is repentance and faith. And then looking in faith, that as Jesus died on that cross for the sins of his people, that vast number includes me. And the Lord sees what's in the heart. He knows whether it's genuine or not. And if it's there, then he'll cleanse us from our sin. Set us free from guilt. Set us free from fear of death. Grant us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live for Christ. Give us the scriptures to live by. We have to obey the scriptures. We cannot say we're Christians and live as pagans anymore. We have to live as per the scriptures tell us, instruct us. And then one day, one glorious day, either the Lord will come again and we'll be swept up to meet him, or he'll call us home to be with him forever. What a blessing that is. What blessing lay ahead for Rahab in her life with the people of God? And what blessing can lie ahead for us, whatever he has given us left to live on this earth, if we seek to live it for his glory and for the pursuance of his kingdom? And then one day we look to that wonderful time when he'll call us home. Here we need to pray, as the last hymn will tell us to. Breath of life comes sweeping to us. Don't we need that? The church needs a breath of life. This one needs it. I need it. You need it. The nation needs it. Well, let's pray that the Lord will even yet have mercy on lots more Rahabs and their families in our own land. Let's pray together.